Nobody knew, and so it wasn't until she had reached out to a Red Frog team, because she knew that she could seek support through the Red Frogs, and she was actually really ashamed. She didn't want her friends to know, she didn't want her parents to know, she didn't want anybody in the world to know, but she knew that she had to reach out to the Red Frogs, because they said at her high school seminar that we are your best friends and that we will support you no matter what.
Hey church, and welcome to episode 3 of our Faith, Love, Hope podcast. We've looked at how we're going to advance the church together this year with Pastor Mark, and then Pastor Lee came on and shared around her heart for It's Not Okay Project. Today, I'm sitting here with Pastor Tim McDonald, the location pastor for City Point West, and Chris George, who is the director for Red Frogs. Great to have you both on board.
Today
we're looking at some of the ways that we outwork our vision statement, which is to unmistakably influence our world for good and for God, which gives us a really clear measure to see if we are actually doing that. These are two arms today that we reach into our community, and I want to look at that today. So first question, let's get straight into it. First one's for you, Pastor Tim. You pastor a great church over in Inala. And as we are looking at the needs of the world, because the church is called to meet the needs of the world, I want to ask you about what is one of the unseen needs. What is a need in Australia that no one talks about? We talk about anxiety. We talk about mental health. What is a need that you see that the Western world just brushes under the carpet?
I think those needs are significant needs in our community today, there's no doubt. But probably the one that's the most unseen, especially here in Brisbane and most Western societies, is the reality that we still have abject poverty in our cities.
Right.
We still have people that are sleeping on cardboard. We have people that have no food. We have people and families, multiple families, renting a single house just to be able to get through life. You know, we have even the great welfare system we have these significant challenges of abject poverty, and we get to see that every day. I think that's probably something that's hidden away from so many, but every day I walk amongst community that's living like that.
So when you went to City Point West and you were confronted with this, what happened within yourself that you came from maybe more, you know, an affluent suburb, or you came from here at City Point Brisbane, and we assume that everyone has the basics of life. We assume everyone has food, shelter over the head, and then you transfer into that kind of environment.
Sure.
What kind of happened in you? What happened in your heart there?
Probably first and foremost, it was something of, oh my goodness, this is happening in our city.
Yeah.
You know, we imagine we have to go to Cambodia to meet people in abject poverty, not walk outside the doors of our church. That's
sure.
probably the thing that was a surprise. Like, whoa, this is going on. Obviously, a lot of people talk about Inala, talk about the western suburbs of Brisbane and the challenges that exist there, but I never saw it firsthand, so I was first surprised, and then obviously deeply moved my heart.
Right.
I'm like most of us, you know, we have a deep passion for people. That's why we do what we do. And then going the next step to putting faces to those people and walking with people, no doubt something moved deeply inside me. I've walked with families now. I've walked with young teenagers through to their parents as they go through the everyday challenges of just getting through life and just surviving, just being able to send kids to school, just being able to put food on the table before they go. And,
yeah, well.
You know, that did something deep in my heart. And I know that heart is in our senior pastor, Pastor Lee. I'd often just tell her stories, and straight away her heart was moved, like, hey, we're going to do something here.
Yeah. And so we progressed on from there, and in 2011 we started something called Marketplace. Was that around the Brizzy floods? Is that what instigated that?
We talked about it for a number of years. We talked about the concept, and we called it Food Care way back then.
Sure.
We talked about the concept. We'd been running an op shop since we moved into City Point West, and we talked about, I wonder if there is that need. Obviously, Brisbane floods, you know, the whole church was hands-on, cleaning homes out, helping people with food, helping people with those essentials. And so after the Brisbane floods, which was in January, February, by May we decided, hey, we're going to make this go. So we started putting some food together. And I remember in May, which is like 10 years ago now, we opened the doors. And we opened at 9 o'clock in the morning thinking, I wonder if there will be a need. By 12 o'clock, we were completely sold out of all the food
we
of stored up over the weeks before, and come to the realization, hey, there is significant need, especially in this area of food, not just free food and given away, but also low-cost food to help family budgets. In the preceding years, we'd given away. You know, we'd already done hampers for a number of years. But the realisation that we don't want, and from Pastor Mark and Lee, we don't want to just give, but help people to balance budgets and work their way from poverty that is not just an outworking, but it's also a mindset and it's also a thinking. Work from that to how do you balance a budget? How do you be able to save? How do you be able to, you know, come here and shop and not need to go and have desperate need? That's probably the heart that Pastor Mark and Lee came from, that we interpreted as food care, which obviously in the long term has now become marketplace.
So it's so interesting. So it's not just handouts meeting the point of need, but you're actually breaking cycles of dysfunction in families and people's lives as well.
And we saw over the first couple of years a decrease in the amount of hampers that we gave out.
Yeah.
We're having hundreds of people every week, hundreds of families every week, well, thousands of families every week coming to food care and accessing that, which meant people didn't need to come with emergency and say, I got nothing. Obviously, people still do that continually.
Sure.
We saw a vast increase in that, obviously, at the beginning of COVID, where hundreds of people lost their jobs over those first couple of weeks. So we saw an increase that was back to even prior to 2011 days. It was amazing. But again, people have balanced their way through that. They've learned how to come and shop. And we have such a wide variety now. People can come and do a complete grocery shop at City Point West and at Marketplace and now go, hey, I don't need to next week come desperately.
I'm for that.
Yeah.
Let's put a pin in that story there where you started and sold out in 3 hours in one day, and we'll come back and see where Marketplaces is at. But another need that we've seen as a church is through Red Frogs. So CG, tell us about what happened in Red Frogs, where was it birthed from, and what need does it meet in our society at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. 24 years ago, Red Frogs started here under the vision of, I guess, Andy, who everybody knows very well, skateboarding accountant. And that need is birthed out of just following his young guys, as Shepherd does. And so he followed them down to the Gold Coast because he had worked with them for 4 or 5 years and didn't want 1 week of schoolies, a thing called schoolies at the time, to undo all of that hard work over that time. And so, you know, that was 24 years ago, and we're still seeing the exact same need in the Australian landscape today. Yeah. And as Tim said, like, the mission field is all around us. We don't necessarily have to go overseas to find the mission field, right? And so, and that's the same thing for Frogs. You know, we've just stayed true to that mission, but sometimes the methods change, and Frogs has adapted the method over those 24 years, and COVID was a great example of that, right? So, you know, where music festivals stopped happening, a lot of the sporting events stopped happening, and how do we as Frogs, or as an outreach arm of the church and the vision of, you know, Andy Goulet under Mark and Lee Ramsey, and how do we continue to be relevant and meet the need and see transformation happen in our communities, not only here in Brisbane, but all over Australia.
Sure.
And so we've seen heaps of things happen through that, and I think the word of last year was pivot, and and Red Frogs had to pivot because we built relationships through events, but the events were never the goal. The goal with Frogs has always been the relationship.
Yeah.
And so when the events aren't there, we had to really turn up the volume on relationship, and that's what we really chased last year.
So you mentioned in your programs that we outwork in schoolies, in sporting, in music festivals. Are they the three main ones? What else do we do? Is a lot of it prevention, or is it all reactive like the schoolies environment?
Yeah, I guess to paint a bit of a picture with Frogs is, I guess our target audience within Australia is young people aged 13 to 30.
Right.
And there are some that fall in and out of that sort of age group, but really that's our target, and it's both. It's both and, like, it's prevention and acute care in a way.
Sure.
And so we're in high schools. You know, we're in over 400 high schools across Australia.
What sort of things do you do in high schools?
Again, from 13 on, so grade 7 up, we're talking about identity. We're talking about, in our identity program, confidence, purpose and resilience.
Wow.
Yeah, great.
So those sort of things really touching on, you know, how to build up these young people when they're finding identity in other things through alcohol, drugs, social media and that sort of stuff. And so we're really seeing the culture change from a young age, from, you know, grade 7 onwards. And so We're doing that, our Party Safe program. We're doing a Schoolies program and a Life After School program. And so there are four of our programs in high school. So a lot of that is we're seeing as well the culture change. So when we get to Schoolies is just a week, but we're seeing those safety messages and things that we've been talking about in high school reinforced. And they're actually telling us, hey, Froggies, I brought down a slab of water with us. And so I'm looking after my friends. And this has happened, but because of your instructions, because your coaching, we've been able to implement that sort of stuff. And so we've seen sexual assaults reduced at Schoolies dramatically over the time. We've seen drugs and alcohol drastically reduced, the severity of these sort of things. And whilst it's still there, again, it's the prevention. It's the fence at the top of the cliff instead of the ambulance down the bottom. And so as we journey with young people from 13 to 30, we see them at high school. We see them at this one-week celebration called Schoolies. And then we're at universities with them for sometimes 3-4 years. There might be students there for 5 or 6. I'm not sure if there's any UQ college students there for longer. And then we see them at sporting events, you know, the Cricket Australia contracts Red Frogs every year to provide patron welfare. We're at music festivals and we're also at skate parks. So there's 6 big events that we're all
So you're kind of forming this comprehensive safety net around these big areas and big influences of society.
Yeah, that's right. And they're our future. And I think, you know, there needs to be a safety net, a support structure for them. And it's great because, you know, the world sees Frogs and there's so much trust with the brand of Frogs, but it's just the church.
Sure.
And so when the Cricket Australia is getting Red Frogs to come in and provide patron welfare, they're asking the church to come in and support. Sure. And when the Queensland government and other governments asking Frogs to come in and support the, you know, the young people, that they're asking the church.
Yeah.
And so it's really, it's just a vehicle of the church and we've seen incredible things happen through that vehicle.
Mm. Great. All right, so the origin stories we've heard of both these arms. So back to you, Pastor Tim, now, where it started with one morning from 9 to 12.
Sure.
What's the magnitude now that you influence in your society in terms of maybe numbers of family or quantities of food? Put it in perspective for us who have never been, people who have never been to Inala and seen what it looks like. What are we offering now?
Sure. We've obviously had to evolve how we do things as well, just simply because of size. We bought just a couple of years ago the Marketplace building now, which made the growth of that exponentially huge. We had to even change some of our structures. We used to have to check every person in when they come. We just don't have, you know, there's too many people coming now. Every week, thousands of families coming through. Every day, hundreds and hundreds of families. We can have up to 250, 300 families come through in a day. Giving away, we still give away stuff. Like we still do that. We still give away fruit and veggies every week. We still give away bread. Whatever we get free, we still give out. So for us, I think one of our records is like 35 tons a week of fruit and veggies and bread. Most weeks are between 20 and 30 tons of fruit and veggies and bread that come through marketplaces and go into the homes of people all around Brisbane. So that's a significant amount of stuff that we still give away, and we've got some great supporters that help us to do that, which is really, really cool. Lots. Membership, we used to run complete membership list. Obviously, that had to change just simply because of the amount of people coming through. But I think when we finished that, we had around 5,000 families that were members, which is extrapolates out to probably 25,000 to 30,000 people influenced by what we do.
Is what you do now, is it dependent on, say you were to shut your doors tomorrow, would those do those families come every week? Do they depend on low food cost and the free food every week?
Like I turned up at West this morning and there was somebody there, not sure where Marketplace was. They're knocking on the door. Hey, how do we get food? Just around the corner. This is where we are now, you know. When we shut the doors, and Pastor Mark and Lee asked us that question way back when, if we shut the doors of our church, would people notice? I tell you, COVID, when those doors were threatening to be shut, hundreds and hundreds of people come knocking on the door and, hey, we're not shutting. We're going to continue through that whole thing. We used to shut over Christmas. And if we shut over Christmas, it's just like people knocking on the doors, hundreds of people ringing the phone. So we now remained open right through the Christmas New Year break this year, just simply because the need is too great. If we shut the doors, by the time we reopen, we're overwhelmed already. So.
So with the huge volumes, is this something that is a sustainable business model for us as a church? Like a City Point West, is it like an Aldi where, you know, we make a certain profit margin that continues our operations? What does it look like business-wise?
Honestly, it's a it's a crappy business model. I don't know if we can say that on our podcast, but giving away anything is a bad business model. You pay to go and get it. We drive a truck over to pick it up and then we come back and give it away. That's poor business model. And again, go back to Pastor Mike and Lee at the start. And Pastor Mike asked this question. They said, what are we first? Are we a business or a ministry?
Yeah, well.
And obviously from our senior pastors, the first answer is we are always going to be a ministry first.
Yeah.
Bad business model, but is absolutely necessary for us to have a community that continues to grow and to evolve and to see change and to break the poverty trap.
Yeah.
People caught in that trap of poverty. If we're going to break that trap of poverty, these are one of the ways that is essential for us to actually meet that need.
Yeah.
Is it a good business model? It's a bad business model. giving away anything's a bad business model. And that's why, you know, our giving's essential. If we don't have our giving and we don't have a faith-filled church that believes in breaking poverty, breaking cycles, we can't do what we do. It's just impossible. We can't work our way through it because it's just too tough to come and really meet those needs and minister. If we want to be a business, then we come at a whole different angle. That's not our senior pastor's heart.
Yep.
They're about breaking that poverty, doing that, and our giving's essential for that.
Yeah, and I love how both these arms are breaking these cycles of dysfunction in people's lives.
Sure.
Both are. We're not just meeting a point of need. And at our church services, we... in individuals' lives, we minister them, we pray for them, but this seems like we're doing the same thing on a generational level. And it seems very practical, but it's actually deeply spiritual that if we can break these cycles of dysfunctions in a whole suburb, what does that look like?
And to add to the church aspect of that, to break cycles genuinely, there's a spiritual change that has to happen in people.
Yeah.
But if you walk into Marketplace, you're walking into unchurched environment.
Yep.
You know, we have a number of Muslim ladies that would wait out the front every morning to get in. We have, you know, incredibly unchurched community that step into Marketplace. And their first understanding of City Point Church, this first understanding of coming to a spiritual transformation, you know, happens from an unchurched environment. And I know from years involved in Red Frogs, it's exactly the same.
Mm.
We're meeting an unchurched, Christed generation that don't even know. They don't know that Jesus exists to be the answer for their lives.
I actually love that because every person that came to Jesus first came with a need.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what we're seeing. Everyone comes with a need.
Yep.
Jesus meets the need, then takes them on that journey. And I love that's happening both of this as well. So off the back of that ministry then, you must have seen hundreds of lives transformed. Is there any standout stories for you? A few individuals, you don't have to say names, but stories that you've seen dramatically transformed and changed.
One of my favorites is someone that's a member of City Point West now, but first came to, before Marketplace, came to Food Care to access food, come to Australia as an asylum seeker, come, you know, illegally into the country, has battled through that and still in that battle in their own visa journey. But they came with nothing. They couldn't work. They struggling for finance. They came to access food, and that was the first point of contact. They were Muslims at the time, Islamic, no understanding of Christ. From there, they saw an outreach program we did at Christmas time.
Yep.
They came to our Christmas services and went through the process of discipleship until, you know, receiving Christ. Since then, they've had a journey. Going through sickness, going through loss of family still back home. And, you know, for me, I saw them come to Christ and get water baptized, now taking messages and sending it back, you know, into the Middle East to reach people still there and family that are there. So for me, coming from, like you said, started with a need, we met a need, we gave them food, sparked interest for Christ, found Jesus and utterly transformed in Jesus. You know, for me, that's why I do what I do. That is the reason that I love what I do as a job.
As we go into Faith, Love, Hope season, for people that are considering, do they want to be a part of this? Do they want to partner with this? Where does their money go? Is it worth it to engage in this? What would you say to people that are on the fence around that from this point of view?
Is it worth it? I give my life to it. I love what we do. Yeah. I love giving to it. I love giving of my time, talent, treasure, every part of who I am. Because you see the value in, like we said, meeting the need, but we see the value in transformation.
Yeah.
our senior pastors believe we're going to unmistakably influence our world for good and for God.
Yeah.
That's changing generations, changing cycles, changing patterns. That's changing what this city looks like.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything more valuable for generations and generations that we would look back in 20 years' time and see. I already look back 10 years ago now and go, wow, our giving did that. And then I look today in it, I'm like, our giving's doing this. Mm. I can't wait to look back in another 10 years' time and go, wow, what we achieved because of our giving. I can't think of anything better to give to than what we do.
It's amazing. Chris, back to you with Red Frog. So you showed us your origin story.
Mm.
Where we are now, have you got some statistics around the breadth of the influence that you guys have reached, maybe high school, schoolies, things like that? What are some numbers that Red Frogs have hit over the years?
Yeah, I mean, you go back to 1997. It was 18 volunteers, Andy one of them, and maybe a couple of bags of frogs. You fast forward to 2020, 2019, and you look at the impact and the reach of the program moving forward. We have over 4,000 volunteers. Allen's donates 24 ton of the Red Frog lollies to the program each year, which is an incredible achievement. Amazing. That a massive multinational is giving the church a bunch of lollies to, I guess, be conversation starters. Mm-hmm. And so, as I said before, like we go into over 400 schools across the nation, and that's only getting bigger as well with the exposure and these schools talking to each other.
Yeah.
Red Frogs are constantly getting invited into the school space. Yeah. With the schoolies, we're at every single schoolies destination across Australia, over 15 destinations across Australia. And when the international borders were open, we were in, Kuta and Bali, which is a pretty seedy place. But again, there's a lot of students that would go over to Kuta and then also Fiji.
Yep.
And so the programs are just blown up all across the nation. As far as some of the university statistics, we're supporting over 400,000 university students every year through just that one program. And so, you can talk about these massive numbers and statistics, but for us, and we talk about it all the time in Red Frogs, in the thousands that we serve, there's always the ones for us.
Yeah.
And so really, like, we will talk about, these hundreds of thousands of university students supported and all these, students supported at schoolies and the programs in high schools, but there's always those ones. There's always those stories where, we always get the time.
Yeah.
Red Frog saved my life.
Yeah.
Have you got any specific examples of that? Any ones that stand out in your head?
Yeah. Only a couple of years ago, there was this young girl who was at a high school presentation that we had spoken to. And she went to schoolies and she was having a good time. It was probably midweek where this young girl had decided to take drugs for the first time and experiment. And this room became a bit of a party room. And there were actually like 30 or so people in this hotel room, which is not bigger than normal, right? And so even within a massive room, this young girl became isolated and then she was dragged into a bedroom by some guy that she had known, but had only known sort of loosely, I guess. And so things happened. And so she was sexually assaulted that night. Wow. And nobody knew in the party because they were all drunk. They were all drug affected down on the Gold Coast for their school year celebration. Nobody knew. And so it wasn't until she had reached out to a Red Frog team because she knew that she could seek support through the Red Frogs. And she was actually really ashamed. She didn't want her friends to know. She didn't want her parents to know. She didn't want anybody in the world to know. But she knew that she had to reach out to the Red Frogs because they said at her high school seminar that we are your best friends and that we will support you no matter what. And so we were able to deploy a team to this hotel room, and one of our Red Frog volunteers actually sat with her for over 3 hours providing care and comfort.
Wow.
And so through that conversation, she actually, this schoolie in hindsight and in recollection, didn't actually remember anything that the Red Frog said, but she knew that there was a Red Frog that was there at her lowest time in her life. And so, and then after schoolies, they that schoolie and that frogger had reconnected through friendship. And she was invited into a local faith community, into a local church, where she actually gave her heart to Christ. And so through what was a disgusting, unfortunate circumstance and, abuse against her, has turned into this incredible story of transformation, support, where she had given her heart to Christ. She became a Christian. And she actually, 2 years ago, decided that she would actually give back to the organization that gave so much to her. And she put on a Red Frog t-shirt, came down to schoolies as a frogger, and started supporting all the schoolies. Yeah, it was a pretty incredible story of that, just, I guess, that transformation.
Full circle.
Life's change, yeah.
Yeah, so good. What cultural landscapes have you seen shift from when schoolies, when Red Frog started 24 years ago to now? What looks different because of the influence that we've had over, you know, 2.5 decades?
Yeah, great question. I think, you know, 24 years ago, you know, and it still is to a point, but drinking, you know, alcohol is probably the number one drug in Australia. Yeah. And it is abused a lot. And it is also a bit of a gateway and a pathway to other sort of experimentation. And so I think you look back 24 years ago, the Australian drinking landscape was pretty hectic. The introduction of things like high alcoholic spirits and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, gone are the days where you just have a stubby and a glass bottle and a goon bag. You know, it's now like all these high alcohol sort of mixes and whatnot. And so what we've seen actually is that whilst alcohol is still there, the drinking culture has shifted quite a lot,
right,
and it's become a lot better. There's a lot more education around drinking in Australia, particularly for young people. There's a lot of programs going into their schools and talking to them about that. But we've seen drugs go up. We've seen experimental drugs go up. But then also really for us, it's the isolation, it's the mental health. And so really, I reckon, particularly for young people in Australia, it's belonging.
Sure.
Everybody wants to belong, and how they find their belonging, they'll experiment in ways to be able to find their belonging. So whether that's through alcohol, or whether that's through drugs, or through partying, or through girlfriends and relationships, they just want to belong. And so through that has come, you know, isolation, depression, mental health concerns, where we might see some of those cases at schoolies, where there's a suicide ideation. We get called to, you know, maybe 15 suicide ideations every year at schoolies. Unfortunately, some of those might turn into suicides. And so there's those sort of acute stories of what might happen.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, even in universities where you've got all these residential students living on college and their belonging is part of their college culture. And so then they get caught up. They might have come from really good backgrounds of, you know, Christian family and parents and whatnot. But then all of a sudden they come to college and they get caught up in the drinking college culture, which will completely derail the purpose that God has for them. And so I guess, again, providing that sort of safety net support, like structure around them, Red Frogs can sort of be there to offer and provide an alternative for them. And that answer is through church and through Jesus.
Yeah, love that. And even off the back of that, we've just seen our St. Lucia service launched there as well.
Right.
Been doing great. They had, you know, tens and tens and tens every week of new college students, new students. One guy saw a flyer in his library on the Tuesday night at 6 p.m. thought I could use some faith, came, gave his life to God as well. So it seems like we're involved in this multi-prong attack on all these different areas of our society. And
yeah, which is so good, because I think even the giving to that is so incredible, because that has been an answer to prayer for over a decade. I remember like 10 years ago, that, you know, the Red Frog, not even Red, the City Point community wanted to plant a church in amongst the university students, because that's the future.
Yeah.
The future lawyers, doctors, leaders of our nation are in that university. And the universities are so, so institutional towards forming people's beliefs and their trajectories, you know, for their futures. And so to have a City Point campus or, you know, service in that university is a massive answer to prayer. And I think just the giving and the generosity of our church to be able to make that dream and that prayer come to fruition is incredible.
And that's right. And like you said earlier, it's the giving of in the years prior that allow us to launch these things now.
Yep.
The sowing and reaping. And
100%.
Like you guys, I'm so inspired to see what the sowing of this year's Faith, Love, Hope actually produces in the decade to come.
Yeah.
And where we have two marketplaces now, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Because the need's very high still.
No doubt about it.
Anything, closing comments you'd like to say on the issue of Faith, Love, Hope around Red Frogs, any future direction where you'd like to go to in either of these community arms?
Yeah, I think the needs, we've met a lot of needs, but there's still needs existing.
Yeah.
You know, there's the needs shift and change, and I think you're saying that so well with what we see in Red Frogs, those needs shift and change. And in the shifting and changing, it's like, our senior pastor's heart is we're going to keep meeting them unmistakably.
Yeah.
So I look at what we've done is great, but there's so much more to do.
Yeah.
And there's so many more people to reach. There's so many more communities to engage in. I just went and visited one of our Tamil families whose father just passed away in India of COVID. And he was sharing with me, they sat with a group of 25 people here in Brisbane, and all 25 of them have lost somebody in India recently. Wow. There's a whole different need that we've never even thought of before.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just come to my attention, you know, an hour ago. Those things are there all the time. And so that's what our giving keeps open doors for us to keep reaching, engaging, like with Red Frogs, with Marketplace, with whatever we do at City Point.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I think what drew me to City Point, you know, 14 years ago, was the fact that City Point is an outward-facing church. Mm. I work with hundreds and hundreds of churches all across Australia, and I love my home church. You know, we are, you know, whilst we're at City Point Brisbane here, but then also the other six locations around Brisbane and then international through Auckland, Bulgaria, and also through the States. I would say that pretty much every single City Point campus does Red Frogs or utilizes Red Frogs as their outreach ministry. And so for me, I love that City Point is always outward focused. Mm. They're always reaching the lost. And for us as Red Frogs, it's all about safeguarding a generation. Yeah. And so I would just encourage the congregation, encourage City Point that, you know, continue to partner, whether it be financially or through your time and your talent. Come and partner with organizations like Frogs and Marketplace and others. So, you know, alone we can only do so much, but together we can reach the world. Yeah. And so I'm excited for the future.
Love it. So good. Thanks so much for your time today, guys. Thanks for tuning in. City Point for our third and final edition of the Faith, Love, Hope podcast. We're praying that you are prayerfully considering what you are going to bring on Faith, Love, Hope Sunday on the 6th of June. It's going to be a powerful Sunday as we continue to influence our world for good and for God. Have a great week.